Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 432, the stanzas 2 and 3. A God who rules in state is in Zion great. He excels in worth all that dwell on earth and what follows. A Psalter 432, the stanzas 2 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Romans 3. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Christian Catholic undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 3. What advantage then hath a Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth God, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal and unchangeable God of the heavens and of the earth, may it not be evil in thy most holy sight, when by renewal on this holy day of rest, that we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee. Then we also need to ask thee for the pardoning of the sins of this Sabbath day. We have heard out of thy holy word what we have become and what we remain outside of thy grace through our deep fallen Adam. Then also in this day, then we have offended in many things. May our sin become our guilt by the first time and by renewal, and may there be a fleeing unto thee. Then, Lord, how good and long-suffering thou art, that thou permittest us once more on this Sabbath day to come up to thy courts. Wilt thou impress upon all our hearts that each breath and each heartbeat that is a gift from above, that we may still be in the precious day of grace. And now, Lord, by renewal, then we humbly beg of thee that thou may bless thy holy word. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Thou hast never promised to work in the places of vanity and in the places of wickedness, but thou hast promised thy special blessing in thy house, and there thou gather thy church. as thou wast promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Lord, wilt thou grant that expectation, an eye upon thee, that thou may do wonders for us and our children? Thou art so sovereign and so free. Thou art that heavenly potter. Thou art just and right. When thou leavest us lie in our lost state, and that we go lost eternally, but, ah, Lord, thou hast taught thy church to pray that thy kingdom may come. And to that end we earnestly beseech thee that thou may gather those rude lumps of clay and place them upon the potter's wheel of free and sovereign grace to make a beginning, to form a vessel unto and for thyself that may reflect thy holy image. And where thou hast begun that good work, may they be formed more and more, that they may become conformable to the image of thy Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord. May it please thee in the latter days of the earth, and they are very solemn, they are very serious. The footsteps of King Jesus are being heard, but there is still a church to be gathered, and may we and our children be among them. Because what shall it be to have come up to thy house since our youth, for many years in our middle age, even to our old age, and then to have to go lost? Lord, we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Remember our denomination, a special week is planned, when the candidate hopes to be ordained to the ministry of word and sacrament. May thy special presence be experienced, a grand good day in the midst of thy church, and may it be for the purpose of all purposes, that the kingdom of Satan may be broken down, destroyed, and that thy kingdom may be built up. Then on the same day in the Netherlands, then also a candidate hopes to be ordained, and then to be sent to the Jewish people. He has labored there for many years together with his wife, but now as a servant of the Most High, may the labors be blessed. Lord, we commend unto thee all thy servants. May the number be increased. Remember also our theological school, when it shall be opened on the same day. We commend unto thee the instructors, the student that may begin his second year, and the student for his first year. Oh, wilt thou encourage them? Because when it is of thee, then the devil shall not sit still, he shall not be quiet. But may they experience in special ways that thou indeed knowest of them, remember them together with their families. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. Remember our mission field, thy servants, and the team. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace amongst us and our children. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory, who is sufficient unto these things? May they be carried upon the wings of prayer, and may the labors richly be blessed. We commend unto thee all fathers and mothers, with their dear children, they have promised to do their utmost to instruct their children in that aforesaid doctrine. And may it be granted that oftentimes they may be gathered round about thy holy word, accompanied with unceasing prayer and an example according to thy word. Ah, Lord, we cannot convert them, that is thy work, but thou usest means. Then we remember our Christian school. Wilt thou help the administration, the principals, the teachers, with all the preparation in the week to come? When thou grantest it, then another school year hopes to commence. And then in the past school year, then thou was spoken in a special way. We have seen the handwriting on the wall. May it please thee to grant a heart to acknowledge thee. Also when we hope to come together within the walls of thy house for that purpose, to acknowledge thee that we may commence another school year, and also to humbly implore thee for thy blessing. Oh, may it be a year of thy sovereign good pleasure, that the seed of thy word, that it may fall on well-prepared hearts. Remember the manifold needs, ah, Lord, and by renewal, then we commend unto thee all the mourning families. Ah, grant them a place at thy footstool when they are overwhelmed, that they may pour out their heart before thee and ask for courage, for strength, that they may continue on the way. We remember all our elderly ones come to the evening of their life, infirmities of the body, infirmities of the mind. Above all, may it please thee to save their never-dying souls. We remember the sick and the afflicted, the old mother in the hospital. Hitherto thou wast wonderfully spared. We commend her unto thee for body and soul, together with her husband. And Lord, the young mother with the unborn, wilt thou watch over them both. Grant them also a place at thy footstool, where they may come before thee. Remember all the sick and afflicted. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Lord, we remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, and remember the member under censure. Ah, may it please thee that he may be given to bow in the dust with that true repentance, with that true humility, a cry unto thee, the living God. May he be carried upon the wings of prayer. Lord, remember land and country. Elections have been planned for the future. May that also become a matter of prayer, that thou giveth our country not completely over to the hardness of the heart. May thou yet grant leaders who have learned to bow their knees and who may open thy holy word. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy help. Thou knowest that without thee we can do nothing. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above? May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. Grant a little liberty, grant a little freedom, and thou hast declared in thy word that thou shalt not muzzle the threshing ox. Lord, may thy word go forth with power divine. May it fall on well-prepared hearts. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. the buying, the selling, the worldly, the wandering thoughts. Oh, wilt thou also help our little boys and our little girls? Thou only needeth one word. Oh, wilt thou remember all those that could not come up to thy house in this evening hour? Grant them a Sabbath day blessing. O Lord, then by renewal we must confess that we have nothing to plead upon. But, O thou hast declared in thy word that there is a multitude of mercies. Wilt thou then manifest thy mercy unto us and our dear children? O save us as thou hast saved all thy people. And that is only possible through the meritorial work of thy dear Son, who was come upon this earth to suffer and die, but who was risen again, and who sitteth at thy right hand upon the throne. And from thence he is gathering and preserving his church. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 242, the four stanzas. Almighty God, thy lofty throne has justice for its cornerstone, and shining bright before thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. And what follows? Psalter 242, the first four stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 4, the question and answers 9 through 11. Question 9, doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Answer, not at all. For God made man capable of performing it, but man by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Question 10. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means, but is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment temporally and eternally, as he hath declared, accursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Question 11. Is not God then also merciful? Answer, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore his justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Lord's Day number 4 speaks of 3 questions concerning God's justice and the punishment of sin, with 3 thoughts in the first place, whether God deals unjustly with mankind. In the second place, whether God will not let sin go unpunished. And in the third place, whether God's mercy annuls his justice. 3 questions concerning God's justice in the punishment of sin. Whether God deals unjustly with mankind in number 9. Whether God will not let sin go unpunished in number 10. And in the third place, whether God's mercy annuls his justice in number 11. Beloved congregation, we have already, out of the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism, heard precious, but also solemn things. Then the introduction, boys and girls, you can remember that question. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? Have there been yet a people in the past weeks, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, that have been exercised with that question, and that you have cried unto the Lord because that comfort and that must be obtained by the free and sovereign grace of God, between the cradle and the grave. And we have experienced that there is only one step between us and death. And then we have heard in Lord's Day number 2, the knowledge of our misery. You can remember, children, that the law may be compared to a mirror, and that holy law of God that reflects who the Lord is, holy and just, wise and good doing, where in his goodness he has given the law to Adam and to Eve. But that mirror also reflects who we are, who we have become. And then we have mentioned the last Lord's Day, and not only a mirror, but as an X-ray machine. Oh, when it pleases the Holy Spirit to begin in the heart of a sinner, and then they learn who the Lord is, and then they learn who they are, and then they learn how guilty they are. Has that now ever become our concern? Has that become our burden, that we are so guilty before a holy and before a righteous God? And the justice of God requires a perfect obedience, and not only a desire and an attempt, but a perfect obedience. Thus then we can remember Lord's Day number 2, that speaks of the knowledge of our misery. Then in the last Lord's Day, then we have heard the origin of our misery, where in Lord's Day number 2 we have heard that by nature that I am inclined to hate God and my neighbor. Where has that now come from? And then we have heard in the last Lord's Day that it was our disobedience, our rebellion against our Maker, against our Benefactor, and our deep fallen Adam. Oh, how deeply we have fallen from that holy joy, from that perfect communion, from that perfect gratitude. Then Adam, by taking of that forbidden fruit, our covenant head, has plunged the whole human race into the deepest misery. Then we have come, as we read in Psalm 40, the verses 2, then we have been plunged into that horrible pit and into that miry clay. But then we have heard in the last Lord's Day that the instructor has spoken of a possibility of a hope, that we and our children need not to despair. Oh, we live in discouraging times, that is true, but the Lord is still the same, and Christ, he is still gathering a church. It may still be proclaimed that there is room for us and our children in that blessed sheepfold of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, to that end, because when the Spirit teaches us that not only the branches do not bring good fruit, that they bring evil fruit, but that the root of the tree is totally corrupt, no fruit from this tree forevermore, forever impossible to please the Lord, forever impossible to fulfill the demands of the law. Oh, that we and our children need not despair. Therefore, the instructors, they have added at the end of that Lord's Day, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. How has it been in the past week? Oh, have there been a few souls that may have been exercised with that last statement, because we need to be regenerated. The Lord Jesus Christ, to a Nicodemus as that night disciple, but that night disciple had so many questions. We had an impression that something needed to take place in his life. And then Christ has said, "Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Young and old, have you now been born again? Has that wonder now taken place? What is your answer, congregation? Is your answer still no? And can you say it so easily, still unconverted, unregenerated? Have you been thought about it in the past week? Have there been a few souls that have been in secret places and said, "Oh Lord, such a great sinner, and I need to be born again. May it please thee to convert me, as thou hast converted all thy people, oh Lord." Then thou art speaking in such special ways, also in the church community. Thou hast taken little children away that surely have not committed as many sins as I have. I have become young, I have become middle-aged, I have become old, so many years where I have done nothing but sin, transgressed all thy commandments, and, oh Lord, I may still be in the day of grace. Wilt thou convert me as thou hast converted all thy people? Or are we not exercised with those things? Tell me, congregation. What is now the most important in our life? Even if we may become 100 years old, what is that in light of a never-ending eternity? What a solemn thing it is to be a human being with a beginning, with a soul created for a never-ending eternity, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And then we would think in Lord's Day number 4 that we would meet a sinner dressed in black, mourning, weeping. The prayer of the publican, "God be merciful to me, a poor sinner that is given to bow and to given to agree with the Lord." But that we do not read in this Lord's Day. Then we read of a sinner, a person that has many questions. If they would only be questions for enlightening, questions out of a sincere heart, questions for God's glory, that would be one thing. But when we read these questions, then it is a sinner quarreling with his God. Are there such people in my midst that have many questions, not agreeing with the Lord, trying to excuse ourselves, to justify ourselves, why we and our children are still unconverted, and secretly trying to place the blame upon the Lord? We have heard our portrait by nature out of Romans 3, not such a beautiful picture. But then we read in verse 19 that every mouth may be stopped and the world guilty before God. that shall take place in our lives. Blessed that people whose mouth may be stopped here in the time, what shall it be? When it shall be at the end of our life. And now we read in that first question, doth not God then do injustice to man? Would have been better if the question was asked, does man not do injustice to God? Placed him as the jewel in creation. The Lord was given to delight in his creation. Also in Adam and Eve, who were given to walk in perfect communion. And we have fallen. And then to ask such questions, do we not then do injustice to God? Is there a people that know of those moments? And I say it reverently, that the Lord is such a child, is such an office bearer, such a father and mother, that caused so much grief before the Lord. But now the question, doth God not do injustice, questioning the Lord? The Lord is so perfectly just, so holy. But now the question, to try to shift the blame, to put the blame upon the Lord. And now when that question, then in this evening hour, then we shall speak of two matters. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Then we shall speak of two matters, maybe many, that have questioned those matters, of course, maybe to reformed, to speak those words. But what a questions there can be in our hearts. A father and mother, when they may be blessed with the birth of a little child, so little, so seemingly innocent, undoubtedly parents with the birth of their first one, that maybe they have really questioned whether the little child was a sinner. But it shall not be so long before they realize that their little child has a perverse will, a sinner indeed. But is it now just of the Lord that for my little child that had no part in its conception, that is not asked to be born, and that is born in this time, and then to be born under the wrath of God, under the curse, is that really fair? Is that just of the Lord? My little child does not even realize they exist. No understanding. My little child does not even know that it has a soul all hidden for them. Is it now just of the Lord that such a little child is born under the wrath of God? That is the first matter that is discussed in question and answer number 9. And then the instructors based upon God's holy word. They have answered, and not at all for a God made man capable of performing it, but man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. The Lord has not only made Adam the natural father of us all, but he was also the covenant head. He has represented all his posterity. And then the Lord, in his loving kindness and in his tender mercies, he could have only commanded Adam, but he has come so low that he has made a covenant. And when we make a covenant with someone, then we come in a special relationship. And then for an Adam concerning that covenant, then of course it could not be different that he has willingly entered into that covenant, because he loved his Creator with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. And then the Lord, in that covenant, then he was forbidden to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then he is given an opportunity. We love someone. Ask young men and young women. Then they love it when they may receive an opportunity to show their great love for the one they love. And now the Lord has come so low, then he is given an opportunity, because when there is true love, then it is not only words, right, boys and girls? When you love your father and mother, then you do not only tell them, but then you desire to show that with your deeds. And if it is right, when you disobey and grieve them, then you are sorely grieved. And now the Lord has given an opportunity to Adam to show that great love to the Lord in the way of obedience. He was the covenant head. More examples we could mention. The father as the head of a family. Then he also makes decisions for his family. A governor, think of Goliath. Then he has stood there on behalf of the Philistines. If he would win, would be for the profit of the Philistines. If he would lose, they would suffer defeat. And now the Lord has made Adam capable of keeping that covenant, but he has broken it. He has committed the highest treason, and as our covenant head, he has plunged the whole human race, us and our children, into the deepest misery, into that horrible pit, and into that miry clay. What a questions and what a quarreling there has been throughout the ages against the original sin. But now, congregation, if we cannot agree with that imputation of Adam's sin, the inheriting of pollution, and the imputation of our guilt, then what about the other covenant head? In Romans 5, then there is spoken of two covenant heads. They are compared with one another in that covenant relationship. And if we cannot agree with that covenant head of the first Adam, And then do we agree with that covenant, the second of that covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, in that way, there is salvation for the chiefest of sinners. Thus, in that first question, then that is the first point, whether it is right and just that sin of Adam that has been committed more than 6,000 years ago, whether that is just of the Lord, that he places that one sin, not all the sins of Adam, but that one sin, that he places it upon our account and upon the account of our children. And then we read that man was capable of performing it. But now the second question, is it now really just of the Lord to require of us and our children what we can no longer perform? Is it now just of the Lord that he demands of us that we are given to repent and to believe? Is it now just of the Lord that he requires of us that we be converted? What is your answer, congregation? Or do you try to excuse yourself? Do we secretly try to blame the Lord, and that we say it is the Lord's work from the beginning to the end? Oh, hold on to that truth that is declared in God's word, and that is the experience of the children of God. It is true in the scripture that the man is clearly set forth, that none shall go free, that we must convert ourselves, that we must repent, and that we must believe. But we never read in the word of God that we are able of ourselves, and may that become our guilt. And let me ask you, congregation, when you try to excuse yourself, can you then honestly say before the Lord that you have done what you could have done? And then you shall be ashamed. Oh, when we think of our temporal life, what an efforts are put forth that we may prosper, that we may earn our daily bread. And how does that compare with the need to be converted? Do you know what is necessary? That by the work of the Holy Spirit, that it becomes reality in our life, that we learn that we are a sinner indeed, that we learn that we have come in that horrible pit, that we are sinking away in that miry clay. And if we are not converted, if we are not saved, then we shall sink down into that bottomless pit. Our second thought, whether God will not let sin go unpunished. Then we read in question 10, his mouth is stopped concerning that first question. What a blessing it is when the Lord one by one takes our arguments away, and that we come in the dust, and that we are given to ascribe righteousness unto the Lord. But now another question. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion, as there we hear it, that the sinner is given to confess that he is a rebel, has been disobedient, has not been Adam's fault, but has become my fault? As such disobedience and rebellion, that is even a stronger word, resist authority, to rise up against authority to go unpunished. What is your answer, congregation, concerning all our sins? What do you think? Will God let our sins go unpunished? Have we ever become exercised therewith? Or do we try to drive those thoughts in the background that we think not such a pleasant thought, and I cannot convert myself anyway? But will God let your sins go unpunished? And what a register it must be before the Lord. Every sin is written in His book. Sins which we have forgotten, maybe. Sins which we no longer think of. They are all recorded in God's book. Will God let my sins and my rebellion go unpunished? What an important question. And then according to the word of God, then the answer is no. Because the Lord is so holy. And out of that perfection, that attribute of His holiness, flows forth His righteousness and His justice, that the Lord can do no other. He must. Tis for His honor and for His glory. In daily life, when there is a judge, and one has come with a serious offense, that it is proven, and if that judge would let such one go free, then what a disgrace it is for the law of our country, but also what a disgrace for that judge. Thus flows forth out of the essence of God that He can and that He will not let sin go unpunished. What a profound and what a solemn thought, O young and old. What shall we do with our sins? If they are still on our account at the day of our death, because the Lord is of pure eyes, then to behold iniquity, He cannot look upon the evil. Are there souls that may be exercised with God's justice and with your sins? Have we learned to cry? Have we learned to weep? Because a sin must be paid for by us or by another. Will God let sin go unpunished, men, boys, and girls? Then you also know the question. But how do we live with our sin? Our fallen Adam has been deep indeed. That under such a proclamation that we can still continue to live so easy. When the Lord begins that good work, and we are given to look in that mirror and we learn who the Lord is. Then in that beginning time, then we cannot understand how that people can live so easy, that when they come out of church, that they can speak of other things, and that in the week they have so little impression thereof, because when the Lord works, then we have much to do with our sins. Then we have much to do with God. Then we have much to do with death and with eternity. Alas, there are times later in the life of a child of God that he must condemn himself. Then they may be given to look back. And then it was only the Lord, the Spirit, that has made a difference. Can come times later in the life of a child of God that they have so little exercises also with the justice, with the attributes, and with the glory of God. Then sometimes the Lord has to use heavy chastisements to bring a child of God by renewal on the right place. I read in Micah 4 verse 6 that the prophet has said, "Hear the rod, and who has appointed it?" Let us first sing. Psalter 300, the stanzas 4 through 7. Since love appeals to him in vain, the slave of sin, let him remain. Against them let his foe be turned, his sin be judged, his prayer be spurned. Psalter 300, the stanzas 4 through 7. Thank you. a congregation. Then Lord's Day number 4 and Lord's Day number 5. That separates the precious from the vile. The Lord Jesus Christ in his preaching, then in different parables, he has spoken of a people with a confession. Think in Matthew 25 of those foolish and wise virgins. Both virgins, but still a difference. In Matthew 22, a supper, many guests, most of them had a wedding garment, but then there was one that did not have that garment. The devil does not care how we go lost. He can also appear as an angel of light. And therefore the necessity that we are given for those who profess to have received grace to examine our hearts in the light of Lord's Day number 4 and Lord's Day number 5. There is a nominal Christendom in our day that have emotions, convictions, but they have not so many exercises concerning Lord's Day number 4 and Lord's Day number 5. It is true, the Lord is free and sovereign. The one he draws more by his love, the other he drives more by the law. But each true child of God, they shall become exercised with their sins and with the justice of God. And the true child of God learns to love a God and all his attributes, also was holiness. The true child of God is given to learn to weep over their sins. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that only name, the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we can and must be saved. And now we read in John 16, the verses 8 through 10, and when he has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And the children of God shall learn out of what a great depth, what a great need. They shall learn that they are in that horrible pit, and that miry clay. They shall learn what we have read, and the child of God learns it not so fast. There is a Christendom that know it so quickly, not to misunderstand. The Lord is free in the leadings of his children. But the true child of God, they shall be exercised with Lord's Day number 4. Will the Lord suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? You can understand that we have not come to the end. But may you be given to take that question home, boys and girls, young people, and the older ones. Will the Lord suffer such? And when the Spirit uncovers, then we learn such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished. And then the answer, may that answer be imprinted upon all our hearts, and may it bring us on our knees. By no means, but as terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment, temporally and eternally. Then we have much to think, much to meditate, and much to pray about. It shall be a special week in our denomination, when on Wednesday, Candidate DeLeo hopes to be ordained to the ministry of Word and Sacrament. Then on Wednesday morning, our theological school hopes to also be opened in New Jersey with 2 students. Still courage for us and our children. May on that day the Lord's special presence be felt and experienced. The same day in the Netherlands, a candidate in Decker, who was labored in Israel for many years already, also hopes to be ordained to the ministry of Word and Sacrament, and to labor in Nazareth among the Jewish people. In this week, then we hope to come together in God's house, and I hope congregation insofar that it is possible that we may be present. In the past year, then the Lord has spoken in special ways also concerning our Christian school. It could have been that there was no opening forbidden by the government, the property surrounded by police. Do not think it shall not happen, because the enmity against the Word of God, against the Lord, against the living church, that is on the increase, and persecution is close at hand. Then we may acknowledge the Lord that hitherto, that in these past months, that the Lord has not removed out of our midst the students and the staff, although we know that there are mourning families amongst us that have brought a dear child to the cemetery. May our prayer be that also the labors in our Christian school, that they may be used for the eternal welfare of our youth, where we live in a time that there are so many temptations. May it please the Lord to place a fiery wall round about us and bless the labors in the home, in the church, and in our school, and that it may be impressed upon all our hearts that question. We shall read it once more, because the question needs an answer. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means, but is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins and will punish them in his just judgment temporally and eternally. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou wast given another Sabbath day, and yet a few words to speak. May they have entered into the hearts of young and old, and may we take that question home, Ah, Lord, may it please thee to bind that question upon the hearts of young and old, because then we cannot lay it aside, but then we shall come on our knees to cry unto thee whether there is a way that we may be delivered. Lord, we have commenced another week. We do not know what the week shall hold in. Thou shalt fulfill thy counsel. May we be given to humbly beg of thee that thou may watch over us and our children in the home. Help the mothers in the day and the night, the fathers at work on the field. Wilt thou help with the harvesting of the crops, the business on the way, wherever we are called to be? Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected, but above all from an unprepared death? Wilt thou bless the labor of our hands? Wilt thou grant strength, courage, for those that have no courage? May we be found good stewards of what thou hast entrusted unto us. Make us more dependent upon thee in all things. May we be given to see thy hand therein. Lord, remember everything that is planned for this week. May it prosper in thy hand. Bring us together within the walls of thy house to humbly implore thee for a blessing for a new school year. Wilt thou convert us as thou hast converted all thy people? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 142, the stanzas 1 and 2. God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now, and what follows. Psalter 142, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.